It's a fine, well, cloudy Saturday morning in the Delaware Valley. I will always take this weather for January. I'm Glenn Mack, now joined by my pal Mike Sielski for 3 hours of radio magic on a weekend where the Eagles get to kick back and watch it all.
Kind of like me, Glenn. I get to kick back and watch it all weekend, too. Looking forward to it.
That is what we're going to do. Two things to start the show. One is, as we just said, the Eagles and this weekend's football, particularly the grudge, the hate match, Saturday night, which is good. I called it measles mumps. You say it is?
Oh, Monday night, you mean? You're talking
Monday
about,
night. What did I say?
You said Saturday.
I'm sorry. Monday night.
Yeah.
Wait for that one. Yes.
Iran, Iraq.
Yes. Cowboys versus the Bucks. Anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. Eagles get the week off. Mike, they earned it. Who would have dreamt of 13-4 back in September?
I wouldn't have dreamt of 14-3 either.
Oh, man. You know what?
It's good. It's all good.
I got to stop taking that Ambien. Okay. Who dreamed that we'd be talking about Jalen Hurts for MVP or Nick as Coach of the Year or Howie as Executive of the Year? Again, we'll get to the details of that later. So we watch tonight, tomorrow, Monday, and we learn who they play. The longest of the long shots is the game play today. If Seattle can upset the 49ers, 9.5-point underdogs, they will come across the country to play the Eagles next week. Chance of that happening, a scale of 1 to 100?
2.
Okay. That's about right.
Yeah. I don't see that at all.
No, I don't either. More likely than that is a game that is going to be played between the Giants and the Minnesota Vikings. I thought, you know, the Giants could win, and then I realized that's the chic pick. Everybody says the Giants can win. Can the Giants win?
The Giants can win. I'm not sure that the Giants will win. I think that's a coin flip game, but I think you're onto something there, Glenn. It's become the thing to say that, well, the Giants are probably going to beat the Vikings. And there's reason to say that. The Vikings have won a whole bunch of games this season by the skin of their teeth, or, you know, opponents like the Indianapolis Colts completely melted down.
Negative point differential on the season for a team that they are 13-4, right?
Yes, yes.
Holy cow.
That's pretty remarkable. But maybe there's something intangible to be said about their character and all of that kind of stuff. That, to me, is the most interesting game of the weekend, in a way, because I think the outcome is the least predictable.
And we root for the Giants.
Yeah, I think so. Right? Yeah, better matchup for the Eagles. Giants. Always good to have Eagles-Giants in the playoffs.
All right, so I will tell you, Mike, in talking to people this week, getting around town, there's a bit of fear in the Delaware Valley. There's some trepidation. There is a wariness that even as the Eagles landed that coveted one seed, that first round bye, home field throughout, which is huge, that the team may have peaked in November and could be headed for a crushing crash landing. Mike, how you feel?
I feel more optimistic than that. I completely perceive the fear and apprehension that you're talking about. Totally pick up on that. But I don't share it. I think they are, as you laid out a minute ago, they're in the best possible position they can be in this playoff setup. They have home field advantage. They're the best team in the conference. They were the best team in the conference for virtually the entire season. And the dynamic, Glenn, that's interesting to me about this is that I didn't sense the same apprehension back in 2018 when they made their Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
And you and I before the show...
And we're the one seed.
Yeah, and we're the one seed, and we're an underdog against the Falcons in that first playoff game, the divisional round game. And you and I were kicking around before the show why that is. And I think it's kind of counterintuitive. It's the fact that Jalen Hurts is playing, that Lane Johnson is coming back. There's something about that makes Eagles fans a little uncomfortable because everything is kind of lined up. When your backup quarterback has to take you there, like in 2018, that's a more comfortable way for a fan around here to look at it. Like, hey, we got nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose is what I was going to say. Right.
Yeah,
nothing to lose.
Yep.
And you know what? The whole underdog thing with the masks, which I believe was Chris Long and Lane Johnson who started that, right?
It was, yes.
That whole thing kind of started a fan togetherness belief and so on, which is the nobody likes us, nobody believes in us, we don't care. And teams have played the nobody believes in us, they're all against us forever, mm-hmm. often ridiculously. You know, Georgia played that?
Yeah. It's kind of laughable.
What is that, 63-7? They played the nobody believed in us.
4,000-7, yeah.
Nobody believed in us. But the Eagles were able to play it then, and the fan base was. And I think people went into that with like, nothing to lose. Hey, if we win, it's great. This time, the expectations are, you're the best team. Mm-hmm. For a long time, people regarded the Eagles as the best team in the league. Now it's probably Kansas City or Buffalo, but best team in the NFC, best record, bye week, home, all that, expectations. Makes people a little nervous.
It does. I think that's part of the reason that people wrap their arms around the 2022 Phillies during that playoff run as much as they did. It wasn't that just that the Phillies got to the World Series. It's that they were the last wild card team. They were good enough to make that kind of run, but nobody really expected them to make that kind of run. So, as you said, there's nothing to lose. We can throw our hearts to them. And if they get beaten by the Braves in the divisional round, okay, well, we made it for the first time in 11 years.
So we are going to have on the show later today two great guests, okay? We're going to have your colleague, Jeff McClain of the Philadelphia Inquirer, who mm-hmm. is a terrific reporter covering the beat the way beats ought to be covered. Looking forward to talking to him. And we're going to have my pal and yours, Ray Dinger. And I heard Ray, I want to make sure I heard Ray correctly, because I believe I heard Ray Dinger say, if they don't win the Super Bowl, this season is not a success. It's a failure. And we can get into that with him. I don't want to get into that too deep with you right now. But the whole point is now the expectation is you got to win the whole thing or...
Yeah.
And that I think, has got people nervous.
I think it has. I think this is the kind of position that Philadelphia sports fans, on the one hand, they relish the ride. That's what most fans, I think, want from a team is the ride. The week-to-week, night-to-night feeling that your team is winning and it's great and it's bringing everybody together and, yes, we might win a championship. And then you get to the moment at hand and it's like, oh, my gosh, what's going to go wrong? Is Chris Carpenter going to throw a shutout? Is Rondé Barber going to intercept the pass and return it for a touchdown?
What are you doing?
What's going to go wrong? I can keep going, Glenn.
These
there have been so many.
Yes, I know. I've written several books on that stuff, and it keeps me up at night at various times. That's
okay.
We've all lived through all that. Yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, your level of confidence right now?
6.57.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to go to... I think that's pretty...
6.5-7 or 6.57?
Now I have to do math. Where's my 11-year-old son who's taking algebra?
Nobody told me there was
no, I'm fairly confident.
All right, 6.5-7.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm about the same. I was going to say a 7. I'm feeling pretty good. And part of the reason I'm feeling pretty good is yesterday, Lane Johnson back at practice, saying he's going to play, working with the team a little bit. We all know the numbers. They are 10-22 in their history without Lane Johnson. That even includes the win over the Giants. He has, and we'll talk to our Cooper doctor later, but he says his recovery has been pretty good, that he's going to be able to play. It is not so bad. He did release a video of him hoisting the WWE belt. When Lane Johnson's getting cocky, I'm feeling good.
You know, I have this picture of Lane on the sidelines during the divisional round game next week. If you remember the opening of Dances with Wolves, where Kevin Costner's trying to get the boot on his foot, and he's got the gangrene, and he's biting.
Oh, gosh, yes.
He's biting the piece of wood.
Yes.
I kind of see Lane looking
putting
that
on his
way.
Uniform next week.
Yeah, exactly. But he will be out there. I mean, that guy, the one thing you can say about Lane Johnson, apart from him being just a terrific player, is that he will do everything he can to get out there, and he is honest about how he feels and what he's going through, whether you're talking about mental health issues or the physical things that he's dealt with, concussions, other injuries.
Love him. By the way, made the All-Pro team yesterday, first-string All-Pro.
Well-deserved.
Oh, absolutely well-deserved, along with Kelsey was a first-stringer, and I feel like I'm leaving out one other.
Was Darius Slay a first-stringer?
No, Darius Slay was neither first or second-stringer. James Bradbury
was, by the way,
James Bradbury made a good bet on himself this year.
Sure did.
One-year contract with the Eagles, becomes a free agent come off this year. He's going to do really well.
Yeah, not necessarily here. but no. You know, he'll do all right for himself.
Yeah, and by then Jalen Hurts, the second string all pro to Mahomes, as you would expect.
And yeah, absolutely.
Pretty good to be a second string all pro at this point. Speaking of which, Jalen Hurts is the other thing we really have to think about this game. It has been discussed ad nauseum, and yet it is the big thing. To me, I mentioned Lane Johnson. The other thing, will Jalen Hurts be able to play his game fully and without restriction, without a governor? And I don't mean Josh Shapiro. I mean by that the attachment to your car's engine that automatically limits speed.
Yeah.
Now, we know he heals faster than Mike Sielski.
He does a lot of things faster than Mike Sielski, as Nick Sirianni has established, yes.
I love the way you became part of that story by asking a question.
Do you know what happened the next day?
No. Jalen challenged you to a race?
No, the next day. I wasn't there the next day, and the Eagles went out to practice, and Hurts was there throwing the ball around and doing the calisthenics, and Nick went around to the writers and said, "Where's Mike? See, there's Jalen. Where is he?" So, okay. You know.
Good work by you.
Yeah.
That's that lesson. Tell you this bad
job. It's all in good fun.
So he threw yesterday. He did not throw the day before. He didn't throw for 9 days. He said he didn't throw for 2 weeks before that Giants game. I really don't know how to read it. And I heard Howard say, remain calm, all is well. And maybe that's true. I'm certainly not going to panic about it. We watched him against the Giants and what he did do and didn't do. What's your thoughts on where he is and expectations?
So I have two thoughts. The first is one that you and I have talked about before on the show, which is that I do think there is an element with Hurts in which he wants to present himself as a different kind of quarterback, like a step above his peers, a different breed, so that he likes, to a certain extent, the idea that he's playing through pain. I think he likes having that out there. I don't think he's going to be somebody who is going to de-emphasize the injury. I think he's going to tell you, I'm playing through pain and it hurts.
Yeah, they're all letting you know.
And everybody's letting us know that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I'm less worried, and I think the Eagles and Hurts are less worried about him throwing the ball than they are about him, as you said, carrying it, running with it, taking a hit on that shoulder, landing on the Lincoln Financial Field ground and turf. That, to me, is the bigger danger. I know there was a lot of discussion on the station this week about having Hurts, the coaches having Hurts throw 9 passes in the first 9 plays. I don't think that's as much an issue with respect to Hurts' health. You can have issues with respect to, is that the best way the Eagles ought to be running their offense in general? But in terms of, like, Hurts is injured, he shouldn't be throwing the ball, I don't think that's an issue. I think the bigger issue is he carrying the ball and is he taking hits?
Yeah. I agree. I think he's going to, because there was like, why did he come out the last game and throw 9 passes? Because he can throw.
Right.
I don't think that's the problem.
Yeah. When push comes to shove, if they're in a close game, I think the question becomes, okay, do they have Hurts carry the ball? You know, it's 3rd and 5. Do we run a read option and could he possibly keep it?
And clearly that will depend on score and circumstance. But if they are in a close game and they got to win this game, he'll do it.
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
He's not going to shy away from it, and they will do it because you and I have talked about this before. Protecting Jalen Hurts' health and future is a good priority, but you know what's a bigger priority? Winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yep.
And if they have the opportunity to do it and their quarterback gets injured in the process, they will still do it. This is the NFL. This is about winning the games. It is not about prolonging players' careers. I hate to sound that flippant about a guy's future, but that is the way it works.
That's it. The idea that the Eagles have an open window for several years because Jalen Hurts is 24 is the wrong way to think about it. They are going for it right now.
Yeah.
And I agree with you completely.
Because I don't think James Bradbury is going to be back next
year.
And maybe a few other guys.
And he ain't going to be the only one who ain't back next year.
They got to do it. The only other injury I want to talk about, by the way, 215-592-9494. We'd love to talk to you about it today. The Avante Maddox injury, and he is not coming back anytime soon, and I would not anticipate he would be coming back even if they get to the Super Bowl. And that's the one they've missed maybe more than we all realize. That slot corner, he does it so well. The way they play defense, they only rush 4. The guys in the secondary have to be in the right place, and it's the backups haven't been able to do it. It's why the other team is completing 13 passes in a row. And you know, people can rant and rave about the defense Gannon plays, but he's almost doing it so as not to expose those guys filling in to disaster.
Yeah.
And that's the one I'm a little nervous about.
Yeah, I am too. And the fear I would have heading into the divisional round and perhaps the NFC Championship game is that you're going to face at least once a quarterback smart enough to exploit that. You know, Dak Prescott, for instance, has had not a particularly great season, leads the NFL in interceptions and interception percentage, but he is the guy who took advantage of the fact that Maddox got hurt on Christmas Eve and completes whatever it was, 24 out of 24 against a zone defense where the Eagles' defensive backs don't really know where to go because Maddox isn't there. That would concern me throughout this playoff run, is are they going to encounter the kind of quarterback, and Prescott is that kind of guy, Brady in theory would be that kind of guy who can take advantage of the fact that Maddox isn't out there.
Well, here's how it works then. In the end, by the way, I feel pretty good, okay? They got 2 weeks. Everybody's got 2 weeks to heal. I don't think Maddox is going to be back. Nick is a creative coach. I think he's going to find new wrinkles. I think any team that has to pass through here, what this crowd can do, I'm hearing how phenomenal Brock Purdy is. Oh, my God, Mr. Irrelevant, the greatest thing. I want to see Brock Purdy play in a pressure-packed game in front of 68,000 Eagle fans. That's going to be a little different than what he's done.
Yeah, look, if the 49ers end up making a run and making the Super Bowl, however they get there, it's not going to be because of Brock Purdy. It's just not.
Right, but he's going to have to do things if he comes here, and I think it's going to be tough. I think that, and we'll discuss the other teams more, but I like it all. And I'll close with this. People said all year, who have the Eagles beat? Who's any good that the Eagles beat, right? And per Denny Selsman, who's a great follow on Twitter, I don't know if you follow him.
I do
not. He's great with charts and graphics and so on, and he put the record, Denizselman. I'm not sure if that's his full Twitter handle, but he's really a good follow when it comes to this. This is the record versus teams with winning records in the NFL. Eagles are 7-1 against teams with winning records.
That's pretty darn good.
The best in the league.
There you go.
San Francisco was 4-1.
Okay.
Dallas was 6-2. Minnesota 4-3. Kansas City 5-2. Buffalo 5-2. Cincinnati 4-3. So who's got the best record in the league against winning teams?
The Eagles.
I feel good about that.
Yeah, and they were in one of the stronger, if not the strongest, division in the NFL this season.
Right.
And look, we started talking about apprehension. That's where we began the show. And this is the NFL playoffs. That's part of the deal. You know, most playoff games don't end 45-10. So people are going to have to get accustomed to the fact that these are going to be close games. I just looked at the numbers from last year's playoffs, Glenn. The six divisional round games, okay, the round that the Eagles aren't playing in this year, only two of them were one-score games. Four of them were at least two scores.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're going to have some of that this weekend.
Exactly. Every game after that, the four divisional round games, the two conference championship games, and the Super Bowl were all one-score games.
Yeah.
This is a grind. It comes with the territory.
I think that's nicely said. All right, one other thing that we need to throw in here at the top, and again, we'll take your calls. Mitchell and Wimbledon, you'll be up first. Just hang in a minute. You and I had a stupid bet that we made at the start of the year, and the stupid bet basically centered on the Eagles' return game. You bet that it wouldn't be that good. Mm-hmm. I bet on faith that it would be perfectly fine. You, for a long time, had the edge. You're up 6-1.
I was.
At one point, and yet, then it tied at 6-6, and then you got one. 2 weeks ago, when the Eagles could not return a kickoff to their 20
against the Saints, yes,
put you up 7-6. Mike Sielski's looking at the dinner menu at Ralph's, starting to plan things out.
And then I brought in Mitch Williams in the bottom of the ninth.
And here we go. It was 3 minutes into the second quarter against the Giants. Jamie Gillen back to punt.
The punt is almost blocked. It's a wobbler. Covey looks up. Covey takes it, makes the first man miss. He is running hard across the left sideline. 40, 45, 50 in the Giants territory. Britton Covey. Now there's a penalty flag all the way back near the line of scrimmage. Let's see about this. Let's see. It was a 46-yard punt and a 17-yard return.
Holding number 21 of the kicking team. That 10-yard penalty will be added to the end of the
will play. Will be added to the play. It was against the Giants.
And there you go. You know what's funny is I saw the punt return. Well, I wouldn't have got it otherwise, but I when I saw the penalty, I thought, oh, please, please, please. And I got it. We are tied at 7-7.
We are.
The season's over. What are we going to do?
No, it's not.
Kyle Quinn's already got dinner. He's in, right?
We are going to keep going. This is not going to be sudden death. It's not whoever, you know, the Eagles return a punt well, you win, or they don't return a kickoff well, I win. We are going to play this.
Take it through.
Yeah, take it through the Super Bowl if we have to.
Sounds good to me. All right, a couple things we want to plug, a couple events. You got something coming up at the Free Library.
I do. Thursday afternoon, January 19th, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I'm going to be at the Philadelphia Free Library hosting a Q&A with someone you all may have heard of, Stephen A. Smith.
That's great.
Whose new memoir is coming out. So I'm going to talk to Stephen about that. It gets into his upbringing and his time at ESPN, a little bit in his time with the Inquirer in Philly.
Yeah, nice.
And
you won't have to do much talking.
I promise you it will not be specious, egregious, or ridiculous.
I love Stephen, actually. Stephen's a very nice guy.
He is.
Good for you. All right, so you have that. That's what, Thursday?
Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Well, Thursday evening from 6:30 to 9, I am hosting a release party for, get this right, Mike and Merrill, Philly Special Hazy IPA. Ooh. At Conchalk and Brewing, we made the Merrill and Mike, which is a real high-octane one. We're coming out with the Mike and Merrill Hazy, which is a 6.5, more crushable tailgate beer.
That's right in my wheelhouse.
Party's going to be at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap by Conchalk and Brewing in Bridgeport. The Eagles Pep Band is going to play.
Nice.
Ray Dinger's going to come sign and sell books. I am going to host a Quizzo-like trivia contest.
Is Ray allowed to participate in that contest?
Oh, somebody ought to get Ray on their team. They would do really well. Great prizes, lots of beer. Come out and celebrate a great season Thursday night from 6:30 to 9 at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap. All right, we'll mention those more before we get off, but we want to talk to you. 215-592-9494. Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack now, Saturday on 94 WIP. Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP. Let's talk to John in Manioc, see what's on his mind this morning. Hello, John.
What's up, Glenn? How you doing?
Doing great.
Hi, John.
Good. How you doing, Mike?
Excellent.
I had a quick question for you. It's like it's kind of out of the box here, but do you think that the way NFL teams win the Super Bowls nowadays, do you think that if you just have a quarterback, you draft, and you keep, like the Eagles right now, they got a great team, they got these other guys to pay, but do you think that would it be worth of like getting in, as much as I like Jalen Hurts, do you think it would be like drafting a new quarterback that can fit into their system and down the road?
John, you are touching on something that I've written about over the last year or two, and I think
I got to read that. Yeah,
to me is the defining question about how to build a team that competes for a Super Bowl each year, which is there is so much advantage to the situation that the Eagles have now, where you have a young quarterback on his rookie contract playing very well, that I wonder if there is going to be a team or teams that says, you know what, it was great what, I don't know, Jalen Hurts or in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson did for us, and we took our shot with him or we won a championship with him, but guess what? We're not going to pay him because once we sign him to a long-term, really expensive contract, it's harder to build a team around him that can compete for and win a Super Bowl. So we're just going to let him walk, and we're going to draft somebody else. I think you raise a really, really interesting question.
Thanks. Yeah, do you think could they franchise tag him for another year or something like that? Could they do that?
Yeah, they can.
They can.
You want to avoid it, because, and thanks, great call, because it often creates ill feeling.
Yes.
But I think the league's going to have to figure out eventually how to do this. The Eagles are in that great situation now. We said it. They've got a really good team that they can afford because the quarterback's on his first contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change. He's going to sign a deal, 35, 40, 45 million, whatever crazy number it's going to be, which, as much of a cap genius Howie Roseman may be, he's not going to be able to find his way out of that. We've seen it with other teams. It's bad for the league. I don't know that there should be a separate quarterback cap or something.
I don't know.
But you have to find a way that if a team has a star quarterback, it doesn't have to strip off other guys.
Yeah, and the other factor, which we haven't mentioned here, Glenn, is that part of the reason that teams want to give these quarterbacks these long-term contracts is that the quarterbacks are the faces of the NFL. You want your quarterback I don't know, 20 years ago to be doing Chunky Soup ads. You want Aaron Rodgers on State Farm. You want Tom Brady selling stuff. That's part of the calculus that these owners go through when they decide whether to sign these quarterbacks or not. So it's not just an on-field decision. It's more than that. It's marketing and it's money.
Yeah, very good point. All right, let us take a little bit of a deeper look into some of the other games this weekend. 215-592-9494. All right, today, what time is kickoff? 4:30 kickoff, Levi's Stadium. The Seahawks go in to play the Niners. We agreed, not much drama there. You talked about all the games, first-round games that were blowouts this week, last year, excuse me. I think you're going to get that kind of 30-10 game here.
I agree. I am happy for Geno Smith, the Seahawks quarterback. I covered him for a hot minute when the Jets drafted him, and it was a tough situation. He was kind of an immature kid at the time, but clearly he's grown up, resurrected his career. Great story. Doesn't mean they're going to beat the 49ers today.
No.
The 49ers are really good.
No, one and out. Okay. The other game today, which starts at 8:15 in Jacksonville, the Chargers go in to play the Jaguars. Jaguars got home advantage there. Hello.
Yes.
It's a game that doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of who's going to get to the Super Bowl, but hey, Doug Peterson, baby.
Dougie P turning around a franchise that, quite honestly, might have been one of the two or three biggest laughing stocks in the NFL.
First pick in the draft last 2 years. I think they won four games collectively in 2 years.
Yeah, and all this, you know, their owner can't wait to have his team's home games in London every year. You know, they're in a market where college football really is king, kind of at the nexus of Florida and Georgia and Florida State and all of that stuff. But the fact that Doug has done what he's done, and more importantly for that franchise in the long term, the fact that he has turned Trevor Lawrence into an elite quarterback will keep them relevant and presumably competitive for a long time. That kid is really good.
Yeah, and it's Trevor Lawrence versus Justin Herbert, two really good young quarterbacks in the league. We talked about young quarterbacks. That's two of them. Looking forward to that. Do you know the Jags would be the first team in NFL history to win a playoff game the season after finishing with the league's worst record?
That's remarkable.
Right?
For all the talk about how in the NFL you can turn things around in one season and go from worst to first, that stuns me to hear that. It really does.
Anyway, we all love Doug Peterson, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's there. This town will always have a spot for Doug Peterson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, you think about a coach or player's time here, and you think about, I think about little moments. And to me, the consummate Doug Peterson moment during his career here is that moment in the Super Bowl where Nick Foles comes to the sideline and says, "You want to run Philly." And if you watch the video of that moment, it has not occurred to Doug to run that play in that moment. And Nick says it, and on fourth and goal against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, Doug says, yeah, let's do it. All right, here we go. Like, that act of spontaneity changed Philadelphia sports history.
I think that's a great point. Big balls, Doug, and he trusted Foles. He trusted his backup quarterback to do it. By the way, do you know the cameraman who shot that view that you see all the time?
I believe that the cameraman's name is one David Dittinger.
That is true. And actually, the sound man is the brother of my brother-in-law.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's anyway, a lot of connections.
Yeah,
there.
There's a lot of connections there. All right, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, the Marv Macnow game.
He's coming
to my house.
That's
Dad's
awesome.
Coming over.
Great.
Dolphins against the Bills. No Tua. You saw all the emotion in Buffalo last week when they returned two kickoffs for touchdowns. The opening kickoff. I think that's going to be another like 30-10 game.
Yeah.
I don't see how the Dolphins hang in there.
I don't either. I really don't. Buffalo is so united around this team right now, and that team is really good. It would not surprise me if Buffalo represented the AFC in the Super Bowl. That is probably, I would think, probably leading to be the most one-sided game of the weekend, I think.
Okay, and then the game tomorrow evening is the Giants at Minnesota. Am I deluding myself by thinking the Giants can win that? I just don't have any belief in Minnesota. I've watched Minnesota. I saw the Eagles beat them. I saw the Cowboys crush them.
Mm-hmm.
I see them beating bad teams. I think the Giants are pretty good. I mean, forget what we saw last week. They didn't do anything. I think Giants are a pretty good team.
I think the Giants aren't quite as good as people are making them out to be relative to this game, if that makes sense. Like, remember the first time the Eagles played the Giants this year?
Yeah, 48-22.
The Giants did not look like a good team that
day at all. No.
Now, things have changed, obviously, since then. But, you know, I think that's a game that comes down to a field goal. It's do you trust Kirk Cousins? You know, I think that's
right. Everybody's
hesitation.
That's a great point.
Do you trust Kirk Cousins? I'm not sure I trust them any more or less than Daniel Jones.
All right, who are you taking?
I will take the Giants 30-28.
All right, that's a good score. Let's talk to Tom in Deptford. You're on with Mike and Glenn. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Listen, the point that was just brought up with the last caller kind of bothered me in a little bit in the sense of this. In the NFL, listen, if you're going to establish a great franchise, you need the guy at the quarterback level. I'm sorry. If you're going to try to every 4 years to change the quarterback. But listen, look at the teams. Listen, okay, the Chiefs might have not won a Super Bowl, but every year the Chiefs are 13-3. So somebody's doing something right there, or they're 12-4. With the Chiefs, you're always going to have a chance to win because of Mahomes.
Yeah, but Tom, let me just stop you there real quick. The difference is how many other Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady's are you going to find out there?
You don't know. You might have this in Hurts. You don't know that.
I'm not sure exactly what we're disagreeing on. We're not saying
not
we
saying
want Hurts to leave. No. Well, you're saying the guy said you can replace your quarterback every 4 years and make it the system. And I'm not saying that you can. What I'm saying is, because of the price of quarterbacks, I think it becomes really important to build a team around him when he's young and win it on his first contract, which is where the Eagles are now.
Okay.
It's going to be tougher for the Eagles. Like, you've seen Aaron Rodgers with the Packers, right? They're good, but they never get back to the Super Bowl
because
Aaron Rodgers swallows up so much of their salary cap.
But I totally – is that because of maybe the coach isn't that good? Is that because – maybe guys get hurt?
There's more than one factor, but I don't think my factor is unimportant. I mean, yeah, their coaches have not been great. I'll give you that. But I think it is a factor how quarterbacks take all the money. Doesn't mean that I want Hurts to leave. Please don't take it that way.
It just means
that it becomes more challenging, and now is the great time to win the Super Bowl.
Well, let's take the Patriots. Okay, Tom Brady was known at some point to take lesser of a deal. But look, if you got a great coach, I don't care what anybody says. Say what you want to say about Andy Reid. He's there every year.
Mm-hmm.
He gives your team a chance, regardless of the less of a players, of the talent that you don't have, because the quarterback takes up so much cap. They might be there right at the end. I don't know if the Bills are going to be able to beat them. I think that's going to be a great game, a shootout. I mean, you also got to take it. You know, the Bengals also. I don't know. I agree, but in the NFL, you can't go every 4 or 5 years.
No, I don't want to do that. Yeah. I hear your point.
Yeah.
I do. And I don't and it may have come across that we thought, like, okay, so you replace the quarterback.
Right.
To me, it's not that you replace the quarterback. To me, it's that it's going to be tougher.
It is. And there are different levels of this. Look, it's interesting that Tom used Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady is the two examples of this, who are probably two of the three best quarterbacks of the last quarter century in the NFL, and Brady certainly is the best of all time. But there are different levels of this. You can have a quarterback like a Matt Ryan in Atlanta, where that franchise was in total disarray after Michael Vick went through his problems and they hired several different coaches, and Matt Ryan comes in and is a stabilizing force there for more than a decade. Did they win the Super Bowl? No, but having Matt Ryan there was of immense value to that franchise. There are going to be quarterbacks where it's worth making the bet that it's worth paying them that much money. I just wonder if there are going to be more teams that say, you know what, we're going to try to just cycle through these guys rather than try to find the absolute best of the best.
Yeah, I absolutely don't want to get rid of Hurts. I don't want that to be implied
right
in there. All right, Dan and AJ, stick around. We'll get you guys on the other side, and we will introduce little baseball talk. Phillies make a signing last night, and I get a feeling that a lot of people aren't happy with it. We'll see how Mike feels. 215-592-9494. Only been saying that for 20 years. With Mike, I'm Glenn. I can tell you from my long association with the folks at Meridian Bank, they are among the best and the brightest when it comes to the banking part. But you know what? They're also a bunch that likes to have a fun time, and maybe that's why Meridian has just been ranked as a number one Delaware County place to work. Now, for you, that kind of company culture translates into both business success and a thoroughly enjoyable experience. If your business banking is painful, a cure is available, and you can find it at meridianbanker.com.
Two on, one out. And the pitch. Swung on!
Did it!
Crushed! And the Phillies are going to lead it! 4-0! A three-run home run for Rhys Hoskins! His first postseason home run! And he's sprinting around third base! What a moment! Here at Citizens Bank!
Oh, chills, Mike.
Yeah, that was the moment of the Phillies postseason until Bryce Harper came up in the bottom of the eighth of Game 5 of the National League Championship Series.
Game 3 Atlanta? Is that
yep.
when? It, yeah,
game
okay.
Three,
that's
yep.
when this was. Yeah, and it was, oh, my God, it was great, and he was in a slump, and he had made errors, and he just, the Rhys Hoskins comes through. By the way, brilliance by Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson. Mm-hmm. I hearing those guys just always puts a smile on my face. We play that because... last evening, I guess it was, the Phillies agree with Rhys Hoskins on a deal for 2023, $12 million one-year deal avoiding arbitration. They also signed Edmundo Sosa, Gregory Soto, the new lefty they got, to maybe be a closer. Ranger Suarez to new contracts avoiding arbitration. Hoskins is a very polarizing figure. When I put that they signed him, my Twitter feed was hit by, hey, one of the bombers. That was the exact quote.
Were all my uncles, cousins, and in-laws on your Twitter feed?
So, I'm going first. I get it. I get the strikeouts. They're problematic, and the defense is really subpar, but he is a pretty good offensive player despite the strikeouts, led the team in doubles, second on the team in home runs, a lot of walks. He's a middle-of-the-order guy. He gets hot, and he's great. He gets cold, and it's a problem. And I guess my final point is, if not Hoskins, who's playing first base?
Yeah. Look.
Because the idea of moving Alec Bohm doesn't have enough offense to play third base, nor is he a particularly good offensive player. Why would I want him as a first baseman where his lack of offense would become more glaring?
Look, yes. Leave Bohm aside for a second because I think it's possible for him to improve as a hitter, his power numbers. He's still relatively inexperienced. But you're right. Like, if you move Hoskins out of first base and put Bohm there, then you've got to find somebody at third base who delivers more offense. And it is hard to find someone who is as good offensively as Rhys Hoskins. I understand how streaky he is. I understand that the last thing that people think of now when they think of Hoskins is him, you know, butchering a ball at first base in the World Series and striking out a lot. He also hit 4 home runs in the League Championship Series, several of which were big home runs. It wasn't like he was hitting them when the Phillies were up 8-1 already. They were meaningful home runs, and he can carry a team for a week or two, which is the kind of thing that you need from a power hitter during the course of a regular season. Every year he's been in the big leagues, he's had an OPS, a combined on-base and slugging percentage, of at least .794. That was his worst one, and that was last year, okay? He's a productive hitter, 30 home runs last year. As you said, Glenn, a lot of walks. Is he perfect? Of course he's not perfect. Did they sign him to a long-term contract? They did not. They got him for 1 year, $12 million. There's nothing wrong with that. I have no issues with this at all.
Yeah, and I know $12 million of people sounds like a fortune. It is not. It does not put him in the higher echelon of paid first baseman.
No.
I'm fine with it. I'm perfectly fine with it. And it got me a chance to play Fransky in L.A., and so that made the whole
thing. That's never a bad thing.
Nah. Let's talk to Dan in Pottstown. You're on with Mike and Glenn.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey. Hey, Dan.
Hey, people are kind of dismissing the 49ers. Somewhat because they have a rookie quarterback and who knows how he'll play when the pressure is really on. We have a quarterback who's played very well, but last year in the playoffs when the pressure was on, the other team was saying he doesn't know what's coming. He also had an undefeated team at Alabama in the national championship game, and he got pulled at halftime. So I think we're kind of equal in that respect with the Niners.
Oh, I don't know about that. You're assuming that Hurts is the same Hurts as he was last year. You haven't seen dramatic improvement in Jalen Hurts?
He has improved, but beating the Giants in October is not like playing in the playoffs.
What team, what team in the NFL this year has the best record against other teams with winning records?
I assume it's the Eagles.
It is, 7-1.
Okay, but, you know, the proof is when the pressure is on.
Well, yeah, let me say this, Dan. To your point, I think one of the things you have to keep an eye on with respect to the 49ers and Brock Purdy is how much are they really going to rely on him to try to win a playoff game? Remember, this is a team that,
they've got weapons.
Right, but my point is 2 or 3 years ago, this was a team that got to the Super Bowl and had its quarterback throw 8 passes in an NFC championship game because it was that strong a team. Now, they're not going to ask as much of Purdy, and they're probably going to ask even less of him in the playoffs. So the challenge to me isn't, you know, is Brock Purdy – the question isn't, is Brock Purdy as good as Jalen Hurts? It's a question of what are you asking Brock Purdy to do versus what are you asking Jalen Hurts to do?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that, you know. And it's just the thing, like, don't just automatically think that San Fran – can't come in here and win.
Oh, I'm not going to say they can't come in here and win. No, no, I don't think anybody said that. But I will throw in one other thing, and I do think it's a factor. Brock Purdy will be playing in his first playoff game, first big stage game, on the road in a hostile stadium of 70,000 people. It is a factor.
Oh, no, it is. But, you know, I think as a team, I think they match up pretty well. And did you hear the one stat? I think it was Trey Wingo called in. Like, if you played the Niners the next week, if you had a game, you were 0-13 for the year.
I didn't hear that, but that's hopefully, if the Eagles play the Niners,
they won't be playing the following week. They'll have a bye before the Super Bowl.
There you go, Al in Doylestown. What's happening, Al?
This is Al or AJ?
AJ, excuse me.
It's AJ. Hey there. It's okay. It's okay. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hi, AJ.
I have 2 points on Jalen Hurts, but when you bring up the quarterback and how to construct a team when they're on their rookie deal, I think it really comes down to how well do you trust management to draft and bring in the right pieces. So I think if you want sustained success, you're going to go with the Aaron Rodgers and the big deals. If you really want to have a better team around a quarterback on the cheap, you better hope the GM can draft well and that quarterback that you draft that small window fits and actually execute the way you want them to. So I think it's pick your poison type of deal.
Yeah, AJ, you're right on the money with that. The drafting matters incredibly. It's incredibly important.
And then with Jalen Hurts, it's 2 points. The only concern I have with Jalen is really, and it doesn't matter who we play, is in the championship game, because having that week off between, right now the wild card and the divisional, and then having the week off between the championship and the Super Bowl, I think just puts him in a position where he can kind of go all out in that next game. So really, I think it's that back-to-back divisional championship that if he gets beat up a little bit next week, where does that leave him for the championship game? So there's that. And I tend to think a lot of people are discounting just how good of a quarterback he is, that yes, he's much better when he's able to use his legs, and I think everyone can agree with that. But I trust Jalen Hurts more as a quarterback in the pocket than I would a Gardner Minshew. And I think it was brought up during the Saints broadcast
I think that's a safe one.
They talked about Nick Foles that, hey.
Yep. He's opted out on us. But we got your point, though.
Yeah, and it's a good point about how much Hurts improved as a passer. And as we said earlier in the show, Glenn, I think the proof will be in the pudding in terms of situations that present themselves once the games begin, once the Eagles are playing. If it's a 20-17 game and it's 3rd and 3, the chances are pretty good that the Eagles will consider and maybe use Jalen Hurts as a runner, because the game will be on the line in that moment. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we're likely to see Hurts play very similarly to the way that he did in the first half of that Giants game, in the last game of the season, where if there's an opportunity for him to slide, he's going to slide. He's not going to take on blockers and tacklers the way that he did earlier this year.
215-592-9494, Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack. Now, coming up, we're going to talk to Ray Didinger. A lot of football, but we just talked about the Phillies' first baseman.
Yes.
Remember Ray's nickname for him?
Corner Butcher.
See how Ray feels about that signing. He may not be as positive as we are.
That's okay.
Anyway, Mike and Glenn on 94 WIP. Hey, if the cold weather has you thinking it's time to finally replace those old drafty windows and doors, there is no better time to make your home more energy efficient while taking advantage of Guida's Big Winter Sale. Now, the great people at Guida Door and Window, they're extending the Big Winter Sale through January by offering 40% off every window and door you buy. Receive 40% off each expertly installed energy efficient replacement window. That also includes free high-performance low-E glass. And if you're in need of a new door, you receive 40% off any door, including insulated entry doors, sliding patio doors, garage doors, and storm doors. Take advantage of Guida's interest-free financing or low monthly payment plans to get your project started with no money out of pocket. This offer is for a limited time only. You got to act quickly. If your home needs new windows or doors, call the experts at Guida today. Schedule a free in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com.
Two on, one out. And the pitch. Swung on!
Did it!
Crushed! And the Phillies are going to lead it! 4-0! A three-run home run for Reese Hoskins! His first postseason home run! And he's sprinting around third base! What a moment here at Citizens Bank Park!
Oh, chills, Mike.
Yeah, that was chills. That was the moment of the Phillies postseason until Bryce Harper came up in the bottom of the eighth of Game 5 of the National League Championship Series.
Game 3 Atlanta? Is that when? Yeah,
game
okay.
Three,
that's
yep.
when this was. Yeah, and it was, oh, my God, it was great. And he was in a slump, and he had made errors, and he just, the Reese Hoskins comes through. By the way, brilliance by Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson. Mm-hmm. I hearing those guys just always puts a smile on my face. We play that because last evening, I guess it was, the Phillies agree with Reese Hoskins on a deal for 2023, $12 million one-year deal avoiding arbitration. They also signed Edmundo Sosa, Gregory Soto, the new lefty they got, to maybe be a closer. Ranger Suarez, two new contracts avoiding arbitration. Hoskins is a very polarizing figure. When I put that they sign him, my Twitter feed was hit by, hey, one of these bombers. I think that was the exact quote.
Were all my uncles, cousins, and in-laws on your Twitter feed?
So, I'm going first. I get it. I get the strikeouts. They're problematic, and the defense is really subpar, but he is a pretty good offensive player despite the strikeouts, led the team in doubles, second on the team in home runs, a lot of walks. He's a middle-of-the-order guy. He gets hot, and he's great. He gets cold, and it's a problem. And I guess my final point is, if not Hoskins, who's playing first base?
Yeah. Look.
Because the idea of moving Alec Bohm doesn't have enough offense to play third base, nor is he a particularly good offensive player. Why would I want him as a first baseman where his lack of offense would become more glaring?
Look, yes. Leave Bohm aside for a second because I think it's possible for him to improve as a hitter, his power numbers. He's still relatively inexperienced. But you're right. Like, if you move Hoskins out of first base and put Bohm there, then you've got to find somebody at third base who delivers more offense. And it is hard to find someone who is as good offensively as Reese Hoskins. I understand how streaky he is. I understand that people, the last thing that people think of now when they think of Hoskins is him, you know, butchering a ball at first base in the World Series and striking out a lot. He also hit four home runs in the League Championship Series. two of which, several of which, were big home runs. It wasn't like he was hitting them when the Phillies were up 8-1 already. They were meaningful home runs, and he can carry a team for a week or two, which is the kind of thing that you need from a power hitter during the course of a regular season. Every year he's been in the big leagues, he's had an OPS, a combined on-base and slugging percentage, of at least 794. That was his worst one, and that was last year. Okay, he's a productive hitter, 30 home runs last year. As you said, Glenn, a lot of walks. Is he perfect? Of course he's not perfect. Did they sign him to a long-term contract? They did not. They got him for 1 year, $12 million. There's nothing wrong with that. I have no issues with this at all.
Yeah, and I know $12 million of people sounds like a fortune. It is not. It does not put him in the higher echelon of paid first baseman.
No.
I'm fine with it. I'm perfectly fine with it. And it got me a chance to play Fransky in L.A., and so that made the whole
thing. That's never a bad thing.
Nah. Let's talk to Dan in Pottstown. You're on with Mike and Glenn.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey. Hey, Dan.
Hey, people are kind of dismissing the 49ers somewhat because they have a rookie quarterback, and who knows how he'll play when the pressure is really on. We have a quarterback who's played very well, but last year in the playoffs when the pressure was on, the other team was saying he doesn't know what's coming. He also had an undefeated team at Alabama in the national championship game, and he got pulled at halftime. So I think we're kind of equal in that respect with the Niners.
Oh, I don't know about that. You're assuming that Hurts is the same Hurts as he was last year. You haven't seen dramatic improvement in Jalen Hurts?
No, he has improved, but beating the Giants in October is not like playing in the playoffs.
What team in the NFL this year has the best record against other teams with winning records?
I assume it's the Eagles.
It is, 7-1.
Okay, but, you know, the proof is when the pressure is on.
Well, yeah, let me say this, Dan. To your point, I think one of the things you have to keep an eye on with respect to the 49ers and Brock Purdy is how much are they really going to rely on him to try to win a playoff game? Remember, this is a team that,
they've got weapons.
Right, but my point is 2 or 3 years ago, this was a team that got to the Super Bowl and had its quarterback throw 8 passes in an NFC championship game because it was that strong a team. Now, they're not going to ask as much of Purdy, and they're probably going to ask even less of him in the playoffs. So the challenge to me isn't, you know, is Brock Purdy – the question isn't, is Brock Purdy as good as Jalen Hurts? It's a question of what are you asking Brock Purdy to do versus what are you asking Jalen Hurts to do?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that, you know. And it's just the thing, like, don't just automatically think that San Fran – can't come in here and win.
Oh, I'm not going to say they can't come in here and win. No, no, I don't think anybody said that. But I will throw in one other thing, and I do think it's a factor. Brock Purdy will be playing in his first playoff game, first big stage game, on the road in a hostile stadium of 70,000 people. It is a factor.
Oh, no, it is. But, you know, I think as a team, I think they match up pretty well. And did you hear the one stat? I think it was Trey Wingo called in. Like, if you played the Niners the next week, if you had a game, you were 0-13 for the year.
I didn't hear that, but that's a hopefully, if the Eagles play the Niners,
they won't be playing the following week. They'll have a bye before the Super Bowl.
There you go. Al in Doylestown. What's happening, Al?
This is Al or AJ?
AJ, excuse me.
It's AJ. Hey there. It's okay. It's okay. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hi, AJ.
I have 2 points on Jalen Hurts, but when you bring up the quarterback and how to construct a team when they're on their rookie deal, I think it really comes down to how well do you trust management to draft and bring in the right pieces. So I think if you want sustained success, you're going to go with the Aaron Rodgers and the big deals. If you really want to have a better team around a quarterback on the cheap, you better hope the GM can draft well and that quarterback that you draft that small window fits and actually execute the way you want them to. So I think it's pick your poison type of deal.
Yeah, AJ, you're right on the money with that. The drafting matters incredibly. It's incredibly important.
And then with Jalen Hurts, it's 2 points. The only concern I have with Jalen is really, and it doesn't matter who we play, is in the championship game because having that week off between, right now the wild card and the divisional, and then having the week off between the championship and the Super Bowl, I think just
puts him in a position where he can kind of go all out in that next game. So really, I think it's that back-to-back divisional championship that if he gets beat up a little bit next week, where does that leave him for the championship game? So there's that. And I tend to think a lot of people are discounting just how good of a quarterback he is. That yes, he's much better when he's able to use his legs, and I think everyone can agree with that. But I trust Jalen Hurts more as just a quarterback in the pocket than I would a Gardner Minshew. And I think it was brought up during the Saints broadcast that
I think that's a safe one.
That you know they talked about Nick Foles that hey.
He's iced out on us. Yeah. We got your point, though.
Yeah, and you know, it's a good point about how much Hurts improved as a passer. And as we said earlier in the show, Glenn, I think the proof will be in the pudding in terms of situations that present themselves once the games begin, once the Eagles are playing. If it's a 20-17 game and it's 3rd and 3, the chances are pretty good that the Eagles will consider and maybe use Jalen Hurts as a runner because the game will be on the line in that moment. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we're likely to see Hurts play very similarly to the way that he did in the first half of that Giants game in the last game of the season, where if there's an opportunity for him to slide, he's going to slide. He's not going to take on blockers and tacklers the way that he did earlier this year.
215-592-9490 for Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack. Now, coming up, we're going to talk to Ray Didinger. A lot of football, but we just talked about the Phillies' first baseman.
Yes.
Remember Ray's nickname for him?
Corner Butcher.
See how Ray feels about that signing. He may not be as positive as we are.
That's okay.
Anyway, Mike and Glenn on 94 WIP. Hey, if the cold weather has you thinking it's time to finally replace those old drafty windows and doors, there is no better time to make your home more energy efficient while taking advantage of Guida's big winter sale. Now, the great people at Guida Door and Window, they're extending the big winter sale through January by offering 40% off every window and door you buy. Receive 40% off each expertly installed energy efficient replacement window. That also includes free high-performance low-E glass. And if you're in need of a new door, you receive 40% off any door, including insulated entry doors, sliding patio doors, garage doors, and storm doors. Take advantage of Guida's interest-free financing or low monthly payment plans to get your project started with no money out of pocket. This offers for a limited time only. You got to act quickly. If your home needs new windows or doors, call the experts at Guida today. Schedule a free in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com.